With the 2016 election underway and a major part of our daily news cycle, and the political climate as charged as ever, chances are you've recently given some thought to your own political beliefs, or at least found yourself asking about the other side, how do they believe what they believe? While you might stand staunchly on one side or the other, or bounce back and forth depending on the issue, have you ever asked yourself where your core beliefs come from, or the deeper question of what it would take for you to totally reverse sides? Exit Right, the people who left the left and reshaped the American century, offers a fresh look at the evolution of American politics through the lives of six prominent figures: Whitaker Chambers, James Burnham, Ronald Reagan, Norman Potteritz, David Horowitz, and Christopher Hitchens. Daniel Oppenheimer is the author of the book. He is a writer and filmmaker whose articles and videos have been featured in the New York Times, The Atlantic, and Tablet magazine. Again, the name of the new book, Exit Right, The People Who Left the Left and Reshaped the American Century. And we welcome Daniel Oppenheimer to the roundtable this morning. Daniel, thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure.
Oh, well, thanks for having me. It's great.
What did you want to explore in looking at this, at the people who left the left and started this new thing?
Well, there's a world historical answer to that, and then a very personal answer to that. Which one do you want first?
I want personal.
Okay, so I mean the personal story is that I grew up on the left. My grandparents on my mother's side were Communist Party members. My parents were politically active, left wing. I grew up in this relatively small community of leftists in Western Massachusetts in Springfield, and that's kind of the air that I breathed. And though I remain on the left, I think a lot of my intellectual and sort of political development has been in sort of in tension with the politics that I inherited, with its orthodoxies, with ways in which it maybe didn't entirely cohere with my temperament or my own experience in the world. And so in a way, the personal answer is, you know, the book is a way through these other people. I don't show up in it at all on the surface. It's a way through these other people, kind of over the course of the 20th century, who have wrestled with some of the same things that I've wrestled with, but gone much further than I have, and actually gone over to the right, or at least in the case of Christopher Hitchens, if not over to the right, then certainly pretty decisively away from the left.
So you look at six people in this book: Whitaker Chambers, James Burnham, Ronald Reagan, Norman Potteritz, David Horowitz, and Christopher Hitchens. Why look at these six individuals?
So a few of them were easy right off the bat. I think the easiest was Christopher Hitchens, because he's somebody who was a real intellectual hero and model for me. When I was young and when I was coming of age and trying to figure out who I was going to be on the left, and I started reading his stuff in The Nation magazine, and he'd sort of carved out this role for himself as the sort of cranky, dirty uncle of the left, who spent about half his time kind of insulting his fellows on the left, and then the other half of the time attacking the right. So he was easy. I mean, and his process of moving away from the left was kind of interesting to me, but also difficult and kind of disillusioning. And then I would say David Horowitz and Norman Potteritz were also pretty obvious to me. They seemed familiar. They kind of seemed like my dad or my grandpa. So Horowitz, who was a kind of early activist and intellectual on the new left in the 1960s, became a supporter of the Black Panthers in Oakland in the mid-70s, and then really broke from the left after the Panthers probably, though this has never been fully documented, probably killed a woman whom he had recommended to them for a job, and now is a real right-wing culture warrior. And then Norman Potteritz, who was a kind of mid-century left-wing liberal public intellectual who moved to the right in the late 60s and early 70s as kind of that broader movement that we now know as neoconservatism. So those three were obvious. The other three were more sort of after I had the idea for the book, kind of looking back earlier into the 20th century and seeing who would be interesting. And that's how I ended up with Chambers, who was a communist spy, in fact, and then became one of the sort of most important anti-communist thinkers in America. And Burnham, who was a Trotskyist in the 30s and then also became an important anti-communist thinker. And then Reagan, I think I was just interested in him like everybody else is. And I, in fact, discovered only after I started researching the book that, and somebody said to me, oh, you know, you should do Reagan. He was a liberal, and I didn't know that at the time, but he was a real New Deal liberal for the first half of his life.
And these stories are interconnected, aren't they?
I think they are interconnected in some big ways and then in some very intimate ways. I think the big ways is that each of these people, I think, went to the right, I'd say with the exception of Hitchens, which is kind of his own thing, in response to what I think of as kind of the two great waves of left-wing energy and influence and to some extent excess in the 20th century. So a few of them came out of reaction to the kind of the influence of communism and Marxism and socialism in the 1930s during the Great Depression. And then I think a few of the other ones came in reaction one way or another to the movements of the 1960s, the New Left, Black Power, feminism, civil rights. So they're connected in those big historical ways and then also in some very intimate ways. I mean, Whitaker Chambers wrote an autobiography called Witness, which was very powerful for Ronald Reagan when he was kind of in the mid-1950s when he was moving to the right. It kind of gave Reagan a kind of spiritual lens through which to understand communism and its threat to the West. Christopher Hitchens, before he went over to the right, spent a lot of time insulting, you know, in kind of hilarious and amazing ways, almost everybody else in the book. I think the favorite thing of his that he ever wrote was a favorite thing of mine that he ever wrote was this review of the latest in Norman Podhoretz's series of memoirs kind of detailing his break from the left, and he was just brutal. So there's a lot of those sort of smaller, more intimate connections and then also the big historical ones.
When we started this conversation, I asked you about what brought you to this, and I asked for the personal story. So let me now go more global and ask you what it was and ultimately the message you wanted to get out when it comes to these figures in a more grandly historical scale.
So I think of it in two ways. One of them is I am still a person of the left. I'm not an activist, but I'm somebody who cares about its future and its influence. And I think these stories are cautionary tales for the left. You know, to some extent, in terms of the ways that we may go to excess, which produced some of these reactions and some of these conversions. But I think more importantly, just in the ways that we deal with people who on our side or who could be on our side, who criticize us or point to potential spots of bad faith or incoherence. I think we should have enough confidence in our values that we can sort of absorb that criticism and embrace that conversation. So that's part of it. I mean, it's part of it in a kind of indirect way. I see it as hopefully my service to the left. The other one is I think I just have a kind of heterodox take on what political belief is and where it comes from. Or it's heterodox in a sense. I think most of us know when we really think about it that what we believe is so much the product of where we came from, of our parents, of the time in which we lived and the place in which we lived and the historical forces we're dealing with and our neuroses and insecurities and pathologies and our unconscious. I think we know this when we really think about it from the right lens, but we act as though our politics are like 5% that and 95% reason and intellect and maturity. And I think the numbers are in my mind are probably flipped, and that the most we can hope for is to inch that 5% of reason and intellect and maturity, you know, up a few points, and that there's something that would be healthier about our politics more broadly, but also our politics kind of individually, if we could have some more humility about how much of it is beyond our control. And I don't think that means being any less passionate in what we believe, but it means kind of pairing that passion with introspection and humility.
Boy, there is a lot of dysfunction and family feudery in this, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, in some ways, it's like real, maybe not Real Housewives. It's like real, you know, Real House Intellectuals, New York and D.C. or something like that. Yeah, I mean, there's funny stuff. I mean, I sometimes just found myself chuckling because it's like these people who I think of James Burnham. So when he was a Trotskyist in the 30s and he was kind of towards the end of his tenure there He has this kind of, I think of it as like an intellectual slap fight with Leon Trotsky, as they're sort of, as Burnham is moving away from him, and as Trotsky is fearing the loss, but also resenting the criticisms of this protege of his, and they fire this series of letters, open letters and essays back and forth, and it's all about the great issues of, you know, of global foreign policy and ideology, and it is that, but it's also these two men, and I would say in certain ways pretty immature men, who can't own up to what the emotional stakes are and to saying just kind of the meanest, pettiest things that they can say, but in the language, in this very specific language of intellectuals. So I find that stuff funny and kind of gossipy in some basic way, and that's, I hope that's in the book too.
So let me ask you a diagnostic question, which is, in reading this book, I came away with some very interesting insights and perspective, but I want to ask you the question of whether you think the volume helps us understand what the hell is going on politically now.
That's a good question. I hesitate to claim deep insight into what's going on. In different ways. I think I just wrote something on Donald Trump. I think it's interesting to think about him, you know, from the, because he's somebody who has switched partisan affiliation a lot, and he's somebody whose politics are kind of deeply emotional, both in terms of where they come from for him, but also who they speak to in the populace. And I think what that reveals, among other things, when you look at this guy who has been, who's violated just about every Republican orthodoxy out there at one time or another, and yet just won this resounding victory in New Hampshire, I think it reveals to us one of the points I tried to make in the book, which is that, you know, these identities like Republican or Democrat or left or right that we pretend are these sort of well-integrated, coherent identities rarely are. They sometimes look more like that when you're dealing with people who have really well-developed political philosophies. But when you're talking about somebody like Donald Trump who doesn't, and when you're talking about probably most of us who are voters, and certainly the, you know, millions of people who say they're ready to vote for Donald Trump, you know, they might have affiliated with a Republican, but that doesn't mean what all the Republican intellectuals think it means. And, you know, and I'm sure the same thing is true on the left. We these suits that we put on of political identity are usually pretty ill-fitting in one way or another. And that's part of what I see with this kind of enormous, unexpected, you know, apparent reconfiguration of our politics, is that the Republican and the Democratic suits, you know, they're just not fitting well on millions of us. And that is producing a kind of craziness and disruption.
Well, the name of the book is Exit Right, The People Who Left the Left and Reshaped the American Century. It is published by Simon & Schuster. Daniel Oppenheimer, I thank you very much for sharing with us this morning. Best of luck with the book.
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it.
A great pleasure. Thank you. Again, the title of the book is Exit Right. It's published by Simon & Schuster. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.